showering with you since I don't know when.
It's totally natural to mother's love.
I tell you all the time, you're my only friend.
And I really love your lasagna.
Look at me now, will I ever learn? I don't know how, but when you suddenly lick my face,
you run away and I start to chase.
Yes, it's strange, I want to sit in your bath.
Yes, it's strange that you're a sociopath.
Whoa, whoa, Mamma Mia, here we go again. Date night for three, no it doesn't suck. Mamma Mia, I was low again. Thank you for paying for my tummy tuck. Yes, from that gross colonic.
And that commercial for Sonic.
Mom, 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 I'll never let you go. Mamma Mia, here we go again.
So I want to talk.
Wow. What a way to start a show. I got banged, so I want to talk.
Could you hear that? I think I may have said that before.
Yeah, no. I think
got
we were
banged
recording.
Like a screen door.
There's a fly in here. I make no promises.
Oh, no. Here we go. Why does your father's... Is it like The Exorcist? Or what is that? Like what? The Amityville Horror?
Well, we moved. My dad got new washers today. And so we... A washer and dryer.
Oh,
RC
God.
Says washer. And so the door was open and they let the flies in because Lowe's can't deliver and install the washer. Why would we do that when you and your brother are here with my two grandsons? Y'all can install a fucking washer.
No, you don't like to get your hands dirty.
Actually, I don't mind getting my hands dirty at all. I just don't want to lift a 200-pound machine because I'm fucking out of shape and I'll throw my back out, which is why my father has a horrible back and can't walk.
This is why delivery and installation people make their money.
I will pay the fuck out of installation people.
Me too.
I've done that work. They work really hard. And you know what I told my father today? I said, Dad, you yelled at me and said, if you don't go to college, you'll be digging a ditch and moving shit for the rest of your life. And I said, that's why I went to college, Dad. So that way I could get a degree in music and then just make my living talking about terrible trash people on television. I don't want to lift this.
You know, the only thing your degree and my degree helps us with is when we sing obscure opera.
That's it.
That's it.
Like last night, y'all, everyone's freaking out. Have people asked you about this? Because it was all over the news today. Because my dad loves America's Got Talent. And there's this big news about this 9-year-old girl who sang opera.
Oh, God. I hate that shit. Like Charlotte Church shit.
Carl's wife is really pissing you right now. Because she's like...
She saw Charlotte Church when she was 11. Charlotte Church's voice of an angel.
Voice of an angel.
I love her.
Well, but this girl,
Andrea Bocelli's my favorite.
My favorite. Carl, they got this girl on America's Got Talent. She sings real pretty. She sings high.
What's her name? Jackie Avancho was the one who, they've already done that. It's all, y'all, as someone who teaches, it is, don't make your tiny children sing like this. That's you're teaching them adult ways of singing. You're teaching them to sing by a sound, not by a feeling. And
well, yeah,
it's
agreed.
Bad.
It's not great. But I was getting out of the shower, and I'm in the shower, and I hear I walked in. I said, "Oh, that's Juliet's waltz." And my dad looked at me. He's like, "That's what they just said." And I said, that's a useless
that's
degree for you.
Thanks.
But she's sang it in French, too.
If I was not sitting right now, I'd be waltzing.
Because that's what you do.
That's anyway, what you do.
That's what she's saying, and my dad is thoroughly impressed. Although when I got my opera degree, he said, well, son, that's good. I wish you'd put on a hat and sing some country, though.
But he really loves to see the 9-year-old girl.
Yeah, loved her.
Y'all, again, this is they're making this child a circus freak.
Y'all, unless
it's
you're
bad.
unless you're going to be a doctor, a lawyer, or maybe somebody in tech so that way you can fix your parents' computers, or a nurse, maybe unless you're any of those things, your parents are disappointed in your career choices. They just are.
Well, they had such high hopes for you.
That's true. Maybe a teacher.
Let's be honest.
Maybe if you're a teacher, they're happy about that. Depends on what you're teaching.
My parents will be honest with me. They are very proud of me, and I know that. But my mother did say, I'll tell you this story. Yo, by the way, this is smothered.
This is smothered.
We're just going off. What if we just talked for an hour, and we just like forgot to cover the show.
Some people would love that. Others would write bad Apple Podcast reviews.
Oh my God. They don't even talk about the show.
If you're that person that writes a review that says they don't talk about the show and they never stop singing, we're not meant to be
that's
your show.
Never gonna change.
That we're not your show.
My mother said, you know, when I knew that you might be something is when I was singing some kind of Beatles song, and then I said, and then you said, you came in the room and you said, sing that again, Mom. And then you went and you played it on your little keyboard, and I knew you were talented and you'd be famous. And I'm like,
didn't know
I'm
infamous,
glad you believed in like me. It. What?
More like infamous.
Infamous. Yeah. I said, Mom, you know we're famous among like maybe 4,000 people.
Like maybe. Like we don't get stopped.
Oh, I never told you about this. Oh my God. I was wearing Come At Us. This is like I think I was in Century City, like picking up something. Like
wow,
maybe
we really aren't talking about the show now.
No. Well, this is a filler episode. Who cares? And a woman, and I was in like the Coffee Bean. I was picking up something, and a woman just goes, "Come At Us. That's like Reality Gaze." And she obviously did not know who I was.
Oh.
I'm like, yeah, I love them.
That woman listened right now is going, what? I could have met Poodle. I could have met Poodle.
I didn't tell you that. That's right. I'm like, yeah, I love them. Bye.
That is a difference.
That's the kind of shit I'll do.
That's
y'all.
The difference of Poodle, where I would have said, oh yeah, that's my podcast. And they would have been, and we would have talked to him. I would have learned about their second divorce they were going through. Poodle just says, never heard him. Bought this at Goodwill. Fit me.
I picked this up off someone's floor. There was a dog chewing on it.
Tell me a poodle without telling me you're a poodle.
Yo, I'll be the last one. If you see me in public, you recognize me, I will say hello to you. But otherwise, I will distract and say, no, that's not me.
All right.
Mostly because I have something else to do, probably.
Or someone else to
or
do,
Or someone
usually.
Else to do. Y'all, let's talk about Smother. Do we have any announcements?
Just so you know, on some other, this is season 3, episode 6. I choose Mom.
Yeah, it's filler episode. Complete filler episode.
We just finished up Too Hot to Handle. We've already announced, if you haven't listened, we're going to be doing Sexy Beast when it comes to Netflix.
Because
on the $5 tier.
I saw a pale rider, and the rider's name was Death. Because now we're at the end times, and people are dressing up with like with prosthetic animal faces dating.
I'm very excited.
And we all need to rethink our priorities.
We do. We do.
I don't know what's happening with reality TV. We're just going further and further. I'm kind of here for it. I got to be honest. I want to see how far we can get. Is there going to be one point where someone just says, yeah, I'm not going to watch this?
Probably. I'm sure.
I think Extreme Sisters was the point for me. Where I went,
loved it.
I'm really close to saying no.
I really want Christina and Jess to come back for Extreme Sisters.
No,
I need to know what happens to them.
No, they're awful. They're awful.
No, I need to see it. I need to know. I need to know. Like, there's something about me that Who actually is grosser to me is Lisa and Lauren. That actually, I'm ready for them to go away. But before, I just want to finish. So Sexy Beast is coming. Y'all, also, it's July. So on the free feed, Darcy and Stacey are coming on the 19th.
Yeah.
We also, just so you know, Too Hot to Handlers, they just post online on YouTube, is the reunion of Too Hot to Handle. And Chloe is the host. You sent that
Chloe,
to me.
Chloe.
I haven't watched it yet. Have you?
No.
And I think it's because we talked about the reunion last time, and it was just kind of like,
I do know a spoiler, and I do know one thing, and I want to tell you right now about who's together and who's not.
Well, you can tell me that, but I was thinking, what if we, whenever we, because Sexy Beast comes in like 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
Whenever we do
Sexy Beast,
maybe like the first episode of Sexy Beast, we'll take like just 5 minutes to talk about the Too Hot to Handle for those people, for the $5 people. But if you want to say now for the $8 people, what's the spoiler?
Melinda and Marvin are not together anymore.
Called it.
You know who is?
I bet Emily and Cam are still together.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, because he should have won.
Yeah, you called it.
I'm telling y'all, Marvin only said I'm in love with her because he
fucked her on TV.
He is working against being a good-looking man who was a player. Who fucked a woman on television, and he has to save face.
Y'all, if you didn't watch Too Hot to Handle because you said, this is just vapid garbage, our recaps of this season were a ride because we both vacillated from like, I am very annoyed at the choices this show is making, and I can make fun of myself now. And then halfway through, I'm like, this is good. And then in episode 7, I went, no, I'm done. This show has completely gone wrong.
Poodle was your fickle neighbor.
I did 180s or 360s.
360s, as Melinda said.
I was blown about by the winds.
Oh, I knew they weren't together. So y'all check that. It's free. It's on YouTube. You don't even need to have Netflix. You can watch that reunion. Let us know. And then we'll talk about it at the end of Sexy Beast for the $5.
I knew that would be validating for you because it was for me.
Really?
Well.
It still pisses me off that Marvin won $55,000 and probably didn't give Melinda any of that.
Well, here's why. He won by one vote by the biggest dumbass in the game.
By fucking Chase, who's an idiot with a huge dick.
Huge. Good thing he has got a big dick.
So but I did see in the previews, God, Nathan looks beautiful.
He does.
I'm following him on Instagram. I want to see that porn, that OnlyFans. I'll subscribe.
And they all look good. They had like a little bit of there was like a meme on Insta where they were talking about words that meant like dirty phrases in foreign countries. And they were all having a good time. Melinda was there. Nathan was there. Chase was there.
Melinda fixed her makeup too. Her makeup's better.
It is much better.
I noticed, yeah.
Anyway. So she got a consultant who's like, everything you're doing is wrong.
Maybe they listen to us. We need to talk about Smothered. We're 12 minutes in.
You did.
No, but people are screaming. Okay. You know why? Because Poodle's right. This was a filler episode. And I want to talk about the couple that I feel like has really been, maybe it happened because of COVID when they shot this.
Yeah, they kind of got the shaft.
They've been wasted. And I'm so bored by Carla and Rakia. When they come on the screen, I'm just like, news alert.
I'm like, do we have to see this converted tract home again?
It started well. It started well with the boyfriend and meeting the girlfriend and their waxing.
COVID really broke them.
So she can't do.
Yeah.
And she's getting paid to be pregnant. So she can't do fucking shit in COVID.
So y'all, Rakia and Carla and Rakia, Rakia's making her mom and
breakfast in bed.
And she says, I feel bad about how I've been treating her. Because there's a fly.
Keep going.
I like it how I'm trying to say something and you're just flailing on camera.
What's different than any other?
Y'all, we do record the podcast so we can see one another. And shockingly, you'd think this would help us from talking over one another, but it doesn't.
Not really.
So she's, Rakia says she feels bad about how she's been treating her mom. And she says to her mom, this pregnancy has made me grumpy and moody. I've heard that can happen.
I've heard that's something that happens. Poodle once said he was pregnant and that's why he was grumpy and moody. I said, no, you're not.
Had a little semen in me.
Wow. Okay. There we are.
Go ahead. Carla suggests doubles online dating because, and I quote, you're not going to be pregnant forever.
You're not going to be pregnant forever. We can do it now. And Rakia's like, I have no interest in online dating, but what if we both fall in love? And she's like, okay, fine. And Carla says, it doesn't matter anyway. I already set it up.
I think we need to talk about something bigger. And that is, what if you showed up to a date and someone is pregnant? Even if you explained away surrogacy. I mean, maybe we should normalize surrogacy for that, but...
Look, I think we normalize surrogacy, but I think surrogacy is... You can't say that surrogacy is the same job as being a nurse or being an accountant.
Right.
Because it's not. Because you work 9 to 5 and you leave those jobs. I mean, that's one of the many reasons.
I have a feeling that anyone who you showed up with and you're pregnant, I think if you put it in your dating profile, I'm just pregnant. I'm a surrogate right now. You just get freaky deaky people who wanted to
someone with the baby.
And I think that, and I think Carla's well-meaning, but I don't know if surrogacy is the time where you want to play the field. Just putting that out there.
Well, because you're not,
you're just not who, you're not who you are, who you will be in the future. Maybe I'm wrong about this.
Maybe.
But maybe surrogates go out on dates all the time.
Maybe.
I can't imagine it. I would think that the men who you're going to get when, if you say you're a surrogate and you're, it says she is, I think she's 7 months pregnant or 8 months pregnant.
Yeah.
I don't know if you are, if it's just the time to meet new people. I must question that.
What if we both
fell in love?
Well, it's like, don't you feel like Ricky is the parent and Carla's the child?
Yes, completely. We're gonna talk about that more.
I feel like that's such the case because even what this is all about, Carla says, well, they'd get into a fight about it because Rakia's like, I'm in a different time in my life. If you want to do it, go ahead. I'm not doing it. And Carla kind of pouts and blows out the candles. And then she comes back and she basically she says, once you have your baby, you and Idris, that's her son, you're going to move out and I'm going to be here alone.
And I went, oh, that's it. You're just lonely.
You're lonely.
You're lonely. That's why you're acting cuckoo. Okay.
It's the reason why my father wouldn't let Lowe's install his washing machine because he wanted his whole family to come over tonight and all of us laugh and bitch and moan and flood the tile floor because we forgot to put a hose in and we laugh about it. And my dad gets to bitch about his numb nut kids. He's bored.
That's today's home health minute.
That's today's home. But he's bored.
He's bored.
And so let's own our feelings and say, don't you feel like there is a societal stigma around saying the word, I'm lonely?
Very much so.
It's as if you're weak if you say that.
As you've said this before, you're just alone. You're not with anybody. And I'm like, I am alone, but I'm not lonely.
I did say he was alone, and I knew he wasn't, but there was nothing wrong with that.
But I promise you guys, I'm just one of those people who aren't lonely.
But but what I want to say, though, is kind of the antithesis of that, is that some people, when they are alone, are lonely. And that's fine, too.
It's
okay to say, and it's okay to acknowledge that and to know that about yourself. And I think that we just don't ever give – it's like if someone says they're lonely – then that means that they're weak.
And that's not the case. And it can't be on their own.
That's not, we're just social creatures.
You're just saying something you need.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of this could have been preempted if Carla,
they would have just talked,
adult, said, "I'm lonely."
Yeah,
and I'm worried.
I totally agree. She's, and she says things like, "I'm scared that things aren't going to be like the way they are now." And she sounds like a 20. No, she sounds like a 16-year-old girl.
Yeah, she sounds like almost like a kid, like when a parent is moving or getting married, yeah. Or
she was kind of trapped, I think, when her husband died. She's trapped in that same space.
Oh, I forgot her husband died. So, yes. Yeah. Ding, 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 ding.
Anyway, so she says, "Need anything before I leave?" She's like, "A foot rub would be nice." So
I'd like a foot rub.
She loves Rakia's feet. That's about it for that.
She apologizes. Yeah, they kind of make up. And
it felt like they were ending this story. It was really interesting. Even though I'm sure it's not with being episode 6.
No, there's going to be, but because this was a weird, y'all, we didn't get the Italian sisters.
The mother and daughter.
But, I mean, they're basically like sisters.
Kathy was like, I've been told we're sisters.
And I'm telling you now, if you don't think we're going to do a reality gays theater of Kathy and Christina in fucking pizza suits in a car, I don't even know what they're talking about, but get the fuck ready.
God, but they're so joyful to me.
They're so joyful.
I love them.
We also didn't, you said you missed the Hawaiian couple.
I missed Hawaiian mom and daughter.
Yeah. I can't remember the name right now, but I missed them too.
Amy and
Shmamey.
But Shmamey? They're the most interesting mother-daughter pair on this show for me.
Well, let's talk about somebody who, I mean,
who we know a lot and we know everything.
Also, this was good TV because this is, I thought this was the most riveting part of the episode for me. The meat of the episode.
You mean, hopefully we're doing this the right way. Soon-hee and Angelica, right?
No, I meant Dawn and Cher. Yes, I meant Soon-hee and Angelica.
Oh, okay, I'm just making sure because I
Dawn
did my
and Cher just put breast milk on their face. That was it. That was their plot line.
Well, everyone's favorite pair of intergalactic cocktail waitresses are now worried about moving in with Jason. There's a Wookiee. One got kicked out of a Wookiee's house. And after way too many asteroid sours.
Yeah, that's true. Been there.
And y'all, Wookiees don't tip for shit. So that joke never gets old to me. I'm sure it gets old for a lot of people.
Doesn't for us.
So baby Amara is here, and she's lovely.
She's cute. She's little. And soon he's holding her, and Jason is saying, you know, she's so amazing. But he's saying, like, he's shocked. Soon he is taken over, and basically
shocking.
And so he said she's basically wanted to hold the baby and do everything all the time, which is true. And so Angelica, basically, they're talking because y'all remember last episode they went and saw his house, and Angelica's like,
he's a hoarder.
He's a full-on hoarder.
Yeah, and no, he needs
professional help.
He needs He needs therapeutic help. He needs professional help. They, however, don't see this.
He also needs to not have Soon-hee as a mother-in-law because she won't understand any of that.
And he also needs to not carry around that dog the entire time.
I thought it was a purse at one point.
It moved. In every scene is stare at that dog's eyes, wondering what that dog has seen.
I know someone has a Chihuahua purse that just looks like a Chihuahua, but actually is a purse, but they carry it around.
But every time they're at his house, he's carrying his dog.
He's carrying his dog.
So they tell him, or I think Soon-hee says, "We've got you two trucks and some men to take things from your house." And I wrote, two trucks and some men sounds like a great night.
Sounds like the follow-up to Three Men and a Little Lady that I wanted to see.
Two trucks and some men.
Yeah.
Two trucks, some men, and no ladies.
No ladies. No ladies. Yeah. Do you remember when Three Men and a Baby came out and everybody thought they saw a ghost in one of the windows?
Yes, I remember that.
I don't know if that's real or not.
Everyone was talking about it in school. But, you know, before the internet, people past rumors in school.
That's interesting. I just thought about that. You were talking about Garfield phones. Now I'm talking about that. But so here's the deal. I'm kind of torn with this, Poodle. I'm interested in your take because Jason is, you know, saying, I can't. But Jason first says he's a hoarder, but he just says.
Also, they're coming tonight, by the way.
They're coming tonight to do this. And he's like, what? He's like, he said, this is my house. And soon he says, which I kind of can't argue with. She says,
yeah.
Or Angelica says, you've had 2 years to get this settled. You haven't done this. We've been waiting on you. We had the baby. The time is now. And soon he says, I took matters in my own hand like I always do, Jason.
Like I always do, because
you're a fucking loser, and I made it happen the way I made my hair this color.
Where's my white cat to pet like a Bond villain? Now, here's the thing. If Jason's hoarding were a reasonable thing and it wasn't some type of mental issue or the hoarding obviously comes from somewhere.
Well,
and
yeah,
they're just thinking, oh, this is just him. He just likes to keep stuff.
They're not thinking of the, and that is true for if y'all. If you don't watch Hoarders, I haven't. In a long
oh
time,
my god, it's
god,
so fucking compelling.
It's a really compelling because it's very. If you look up like Klein in psychology theory, but she's the one that therapist who basically said that like security blankets and like the things we put into objects. And this is like that to the. It's not like you saying, "Oh, I miss my little blanket."
No. And
this is bigger.
And I want to share this just of my own self. And it's not that I'm a hoarder, but I know I have hoarding tendencies. I could totally keep things. I have to throw things away.
You're welcome. I've nipped
that
in the
bud. Thank you for making that about you, by the way. but no, and there'll be some things sometimes in my house that I'll see them sitting there and I'll go, you know what? I can't move that right now because it's supposed to be there. I can't do that right now. So, and I know if that sounds weird to you, if that sounds normal to you, there are people out there who say, I can't disturb that right now because then I'll have to do this and then I'll have to do this. So it's some people can't completely clean up their houses. You get overwhelmed.
You do get overwhelmed. And I think, well, because it feels like you're not really this, you're not as like this as much.
I'm not Jason. No.
But y'all, for Jason, it feels like for him to throw away his mother's bingo.
That's a big deal.
Feels like you're throwing away a part of his hand.
Yeah.
Like it feels these are something that he needs to protect him, which is why, sadly, y'all, Jason is sadly a loser. Like he doesn't have his life together at all.
No.
I'm telling y'all now, soon he's going to get what she wants. Angelica's not, if she is married to him, it's not going to work out. But and you could tell that to me, Angelica got really upset. But to me, I heard the statement when he said, it's just everything is happening right now.
Yep.
And Angelica wasn't supposed to come here this early.
Amara
wasn't supposed to be here. And Angelica rightly got really upset because it did sound like he was blaming the baby for coming early.
And of course, Sunny jumped right on there.
She jumped right on that. And that's not what he meant at all.
This is a control issue, you guys.
Well,
he had in his head that says, you know, Amara will come and I will have to do it. And that will make me. And when Amara comes, like, it's like Fiddler on the Roof, cut song. Boy, this is really nerdy.
Wow.
When Messiah comes, but like when Amara comes, I will do these things. I will be this person. And he was preparing himself for that.
And thinking that, and that
and
is not
Amara
how this works.
Amara came early and Jason was not ready for that. And a part
of him is grateful because if she came on time, he still wouldn't be able to show up and do the things. Because
I think it's not that I'm feeling sympathy for Jason here, but I am. But a lot of this has to a degree, they're not sympathetic to the fact that his hoarding is an illness.
No, and I'm sympathetic. Actually, the person is Angelica.
I'm sympathetic, but they're not.
No, they're not. I think if Seunghee wasn't there, Angelica would be. But the thing is,
I agree. Yeah.
The worst thing for someone who is a hoarder is for someone to go in and say, just get rid of it. You're so stupid. You're so dumb. Why are you doing this? She's just beating him down and down and making him feel more like shit. So therefore, it's like an alcoholic or someone with any addiction. You tell them they feel like shit. And guess what? Jason probably wants to hoard more shit.
Yep. It makes it worse. And they basically say, and Seunghee keeps saying, is Jason still the one for you?
What do you think now? As she's holding their 1 week old baby.
This is the father of her child. This is really terrible behavior from Seunghee here.
The problem is too, is why I feel for Angelica is yes, it is hoarding, but Jason's behaving selfishly and Seunghee's behaving selfishly.
Yeah, and Angelica's again, right in the middle.
And no one is taking really care of Angela because Seunghee says she is, y'all, but Seunghee just doesn't want to talk about someone who doesn't want to be alone.
Yeah. He does say, tries to make excuses by flipping the script and doesn't make him, and it just like an addict and a hoarder, they have there's a Venn diagram. There's a lot of intersection, you guys. Mm-hmm. He's like, you know, I'm doing this for you, Angelica. I'm changing my life. I'm, as he said, they're throwing my life away. I'm doing this for you.
So he resents her now.
Exactly. So exactly. He tries to flip the script and it's not working either.
And an addict uses resentment when they aren't ready to change.
Yep. And so he's just not. Know,
he's not ready to change, but now he's having to, and he doesn't know what to do, and he doesn't have any of the tools to do it.
Yeah. That's all I have about those intergalactic cocktail waitresses.
Someone you could get a PhD on them. It's hot. And now we present to you Sad and Sadder. These are like the... What is that movie that you said is a sad movie about
Dancer in the Dark? Manchester by the Sea.
This is like...
It's a sad movie about sad people.
This is Mothers by the Manchester by the Sea by the holy fuck. These people have some issues to work through. Personally, I just need Kenny and Laura Lee to say fuck this shit and go to Margaritaville.
I feel like this whole storyline or this whole everything is like, how much can we freak Laura Lee out?
How
much can we outrage Laura Lee?
So yeah, it's like one of those movies where it's like, let's just punk this person.
Let's just punk the fuck out of Laura Lee.
Yeah, let's Truman Show Laura Lee.
How much she can like hold her head in her hands, like cover her head with her hunting cap.
What finally makes Laura Lee say, screw this, I'm going back to Dick.
No, never. She's never going to do that.
Never. But you know, like, that's what I mean. Like, what's the breaking point?
Or what's the, like, I'm going to the dyke bar. Yeah. Like,
fuck this. I'm buying a Harley and letting someone ride them and letting a hot woman with nice tits ride on my face.
Agree. I it does seem like they are trying to push her away.
And you know what? Because Lisa is y'all.
You're right. You said this in the beginning that she's the villain of the season, and I totally agree with you.
You know, because at least Seunghee is a transparent bitch.
She knows the camera. She knows the camera. She knows her role.
Lisa, y'all, this is just Lisa, and she crazy.
She's crazy.
She's
So we ended last week with Lisa saying, can we talk about the possibility of me carrying the baby?
Mm-hmm.
And everyone went, gunk. And we find out her mother is 53.
You're 53, girl.
And the doctor's like, wouldn't advise it.
The only thing you're carrying at 53 is probably too much poop, so you start to have to take Metamucil. That's the only thing you're going to deliver.
She's just carrying a little just a little weight in her shoulders mostly. Wait,
50 is not old, y'all. That's not old.
53 isn't, but it's like that's not all. That is advanced to carry a child.
I mean, in fact, people say 50s are, for a lot of people, are some of the best times when they feel the best in their life. But y'all, to carry a child, this is
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
And I liked it when Laura Lee said, "Hello, I could also carry the baby.
Like Laura
I'm
Lee,
right here. I'm
it's basically
your
like Laura Lee
wife.
Had to say, "Hello, I'm a woman. Like,
right.
Don't forget this." And
I know I have an LL Bean hat on with fish hooks on it, but I promise I also do this.
I can do this.
Yeah.
So the doctor's kind of like, yeah.
The doctor is the MVP.
The doctor's kind of like...
He's doing everything he can, y'all. He's like chewing like licorice gum. He's like...
It's that bad... it's baby girl eats a bad shrimp face.
It's bad shrimp watching a wedding that you know will never go anywhere. Tasting bile at the back of my mouth.
And he kind of went, well, maybe we should just check Lauren out. Maybe we should just check her out. Make sure everything's going to go okay in Lauren's uterus and do a test.
Laura Lee says, "I'm completely overwhelmed to hear that you and your mom discussed her carrying the fucking baby." And she's like, well, and then she says, "I need you to communicate with me just as much as you communicate with your mother."
Because Lauren, who's stuck in perpetual 10-year-oldness.
I don't know why you're talking about boundaries.
Wait, well, we didn't even get there, but don't give me, oh, when, but she says, but you never told me you wanted to carry the baby. And Marley's like, but you never talked to me and told me that you want, like, that's the whole point. We never had this. And Lauren's like, well, we never discussed that. So how would I know to ask you if you never said, hey, I'd carry a baby?
And Laura Lee, we will take you out. We will show you a good time.
Oh, please.
Please. I mean.
We have lesbian friends. We will set you up. We will. Now, granted, we don't know. Well, actually, you might know some in New Orleans.
I know a couple.
We'll do what we can.
But basically, they.
But yes, I just want to say what you said. Yeah. When Lauren said, "What do you mean about these boundaries?"
And I'm what are you talking about? What do you mean boundaries?
And that just shows, I hope when she watches this, she either...
Doubtful.
If Lauren watches this and she's not repelled by her behavior,
doubtful.
Laura Lee, leave even more. Because if she doesn't see what she's doing in this, she needs professional help. And I don't think that's ever going to change.
I feel like everyone watching this show is like, free Laura Lee.
Oh, can we start selling that merch?
I know. I feel like people are probably messaging her constantly saying, you know, I've got a cousin you'd be perfect for.
Yeah.
And
Lauren even says, like, she says, you're going to blow up and make this about you, Laura Lee. Like, and I'm the selfish one. And I wrote, Lauren is a spoiled fucking
brat.
Oh,
she's awful. She's
awful. Lisa's never told her no in her whole
It's so bad.
Life. It's so bad. I bet Laura Lee does fucking, between Lisa and her mom, I bet Lauren does nothing. Y'all,
no.
I bet she can't even fucking fucking record a season pass on TiVo. Like, she's just useless.
I absolutely loathe Lauren and her mother.
I don't loathe Lauren.
I do.
I don't love her, but I see.
I loathe her. Ugh.
Well, with Lauren, it's like Oprah and them are doing that whole question now, which is a really good thing. Angelica and Soon-Hee should do this with Jason. That whole of what happened to you. I can ask that what happened to you, but why they do trigger me so much in this episode is because I don't need to ask what happened to Lisa because she totally put this on her daughter.
I agree.
And so, but I agree. I don't want to hang out with Lauren in that fucking headband.
Why I say that? Because I think she treats Laura Lee so terribly.
Oh, she does.
And
she does.
And it's just not fair.
You know what? You're right. She is an adult. She acts like a child, but she's not a child.
You have to take responsibility after a while.
She's fucking 30.
And then Lauren says, you know, the thing is, if Laura Lee makes me choose, I'm going to choose my mom. Again, that's when I went, you know what? Have your stuff, honey. And, I'm not on your team. I'm not an advocate for you.
You don't need to be in a relationship then with your wife. Because, y'all, that is something that you...
That's what you say when you're 16 years old.
Literally, the Sacramento, what you leave one house to form a...
And a man or woman shall leave his mother and not into an hand. I had to sing that for a wedding once, and I felt terrible. Let's talk about... So she decides to go home with her mom instead of going home with her wife.
Yeah, Lauren's like, she's like, I'm going and staying at my mommy's. She's going to breastfeed me.
I have a question for you. Ugh. And I just realized this. Yes. Doesn't Lauren's dad kind of look like one of those puppets on that show Crank Yankers? With like big eyes. Like, whoa, what do you mean? What do you mean calling me something? That's when they would make crank calls.
Hold on, I gotta look. Oh my God, he does. And I forgot that Crank Yankers were puppets making crank calls.
It was an amazing show on Comedy Central. Oh, doesn't he? He reminds me of a puppet because he's got big eyes.
Yeah.
He just reminds me of a Crank Yankers puppet.
Or like it's he does.
And every time he gets excited, he's like, "What do you mean? I'm going to talk about Cajun." A lot of times people think that a lot of New Orleans people are all French ancestry. No, I guarantee you, he is the Italian ancestry. You can tell
if you go to New Orleans, you will see that the most. I've never seen people that look like that in any part of the country I've been in. It's the most diverse.
I love it.
I love it too. It was just
our live shows there, y'all, are going to be lit AF.
Oh no.
I'm going to be drinking a hurricane.
Oh God.
On stage. Someone's going to be feeding me boudin. I'm going to be eating a muffaletta.
Oh God. I love boudin. If,
no, you don't.
I do.
Oh, I don't. Ugh.
No. Oh, my friend LaTanya used to make it in North Texas. It was probably cheap boudin.
With the liver?
I don't know what was in it. I ate it.
Anyway, so they tell dad, they're talking to dad, and they're like, well, he's like, I don't know why Laura Lee would be mad about something like that. And she's like, well, they might be mad about something else, about the at-home insemination. Y'all, he goes full puppet Crank Yankers. He's like,
he's like, whoa.
Pulling faces.
I said, what, boy? And And she's like, yeah, mom tried to inseminate me with sperm juice. And he's like,
that's a weird thing to do.
That's a weird thing to do. Like, that's over the top for me. And he's shocked. And again, Lauren says, but she's just the same broken record. Like, but she wanted to be on a break, not me. Lauren's always going to be the victim because Lisa's told her she's a victim and the whole world's just mean to her perfect daughter.
Did you know when dad said this, I know you and your mother have a special relationship, but it can't come between your partner. Amen. And Lauren says, everyone is overreacting. And I wrote, if everyone in your whole life overreacting, you're the problem.
I actually have the same thing. If you think everyone's overreacting, you are underreacting.
Yeah.
And you're not reacting, actually. You are not paying attention because
you have an issue.
And Kenny even says you need to make these decisions with your wife. She is your wife. And she's like, yeah, that's what Lauren Lee said. And I'm like, then listen to her. And then Kenny's like, whoa, okay, well, at least we dodged that bullet. But then Lauren looked at her dad and said, well, there was something else too. You know, mom was going to carry the baby, but now she... And that's when Kenny's like, would you just expect me to find out? Like when you were getting big?
You think I would have noticed it.
And Kenny says, which, and maybe it's because Laura Lee and Kenny are so close, but he said the same thing we've heard Laura Lee say. I'm always out of the loop. They always make decisions and they don't tell me. And I just want to say, then this is the pattern. This is the pattern with him. This pattern's not going to change unless the two people creating the pattern or Kenny and Laura Lee, you know, leave out of that. But it seems, I don't know how, but it seems like Kenny and Lisa are happy. Maybe she does anal. I don't know how, but they're happy together.
We explain a lot of things to ourselves to be happy.
But even Kenny says, so Laura Lee's like, okay, well, I'm going to go take a sudsy shower and then I'm going to call my, or Lauren says, I'm going to take a sudsy shower and call my best friend on my clear phone. All right, bye. And I'm going to listen to Debbie Gibson or whatever the fuck.
And she and leaves. Dad says to Lisa, do you really feel like you're doing the right thing? She's not 15 anymore.
He said she's not 15. And Lisa's like, but she needs our support.
You know what I wrote down? And this is from where we come from. I wrote down, this is so refreshing for a family dynamic to be about this, not about the fact that their daughter's a lesbian dating another woman. This. It's like the most refreshing thing in the world.
For sure.
Yeah.
Their sexuality.
Yeah. That's the most uninteresting thing is that that they're two women. That's the most uninteresting thing.
So, and it's a family.
Kudos, TLC. Exactly. Yeah. That hit me and I went, that's pretty great.
Well, Kenny also, he said, you know, Lisa said she needs your support. And he says, she can have our support, but don't you think it would be more supportive to walk out with her, hear her cry, and then tell her to go back in and talk to her wife and work out this issue and go sleep in their same bed? He said, because honey, when you and I have a fight, we get up the next day and we give each other a kiss and we know that's how we start on the, and Lisa's just like, well, I'm going to be number one and no one's ever going to get in the way.
This is the way it is. And I wrote, this is fucked up. Y'all need some kind of family therapy to come in because nothing's going to help.
Lisa needs to go to therapy. Lauren needs to go to fucking Al-Anon. It's just, even though it's not drinking, but it's codependency or CODA. They both need to go to fucking CODA meetings.
That's all I've got about that sadness.
And you know, a mother and daughter who, actually, I don't think need a CODA meeting because they're crazy, but I think they're both pretty good on their own.
Sherry Dwayne! Oh, golly. Pump some booby milk. We're going to pump some milk. Pump some booby. Oh, it's coming out. I see it now.
Look at those tatas. I love them. I don't mind if I put your milk on your face because you're from me, Cher, so it's the same.
You know, they say that breast milk is liquid gold. If you put it on your skin, you look like a baby.
I thought they said that in those macaroni and cheese commercials for Velveeta.
Liquid gold.
Do you know, now, Cher says that breast milk, there are breast milk. She's a nurse and she works at a med spa. And they do breast milk facials, but of course they want to make their own homegrown breast milk facials. And so she just squirts it in a cup with some, it looks like some clay.
Some clay, yeah. They do like a clay, and probably it's got some botanicals shit in it.
Yeah,
I'm sure. I'm 100% sure you can go on Etsy or like Thrive.com and order a packet that goes with your breast milk to make your face mask.
I agree. And Dawn says nothing that comes out of Shea is gross. It's just another thing, y'all. Her friend is coming over. And her Tanya's like Cher's oldest friend,
who's basically like her sister. And I love it when Dawn was like, "I even tried to get her to marry some of my sons. Didn't work."
Her son was on The Bachelorette, and he's gorgeous,
y'all. And she has multiple. So and Cher is gorgeous. So I bet those sons,
she's good kids.
But those sons are pretty hot.
Question.
How hot would a son have to be for you to marry him knowing that Dawn would be your mother-in-law?
Oof. That's tough. I'd get in the way somehow. I'd turn him against her. I'd make that work. Because I would say something like, "I'm very allergic to the sun. I can't be in Florida ever. But the sex is so good, y'all."
So they do. Tanya's like, "I'm fine. I don't need a facial."
Yeah, they ask her about if she wants to have a breast milk facial as well.
I don't think it's gross if they do breast milk facials, but I also have men come on my face.
I know. I was going to say
that I literally don't know their name.
Probably not the person to object to this.
Yeah. So I'm
I think it is a little weird there's a taboo around breast milk that it feels really, really, that it feels super hyper personal because it's female. But it does. For some women especially, it does feel like a taboo. So I get it.
Do what's comfortable for you. But for us, I don't think it's weird at all.
I don't think if my friend came over to me and said, "Do you want to taste my breast milk?" I don't think I'd be the first one on the train. How about you?
I do that. But to me, it's the same as like we buy milk lotion and milk products that have milk in them from a cow.
You'd put breast milk on your face?
Yeah, 100%.
From your friend because you'd want all the, because
I want good skin.
I don't think I'd have a problem. I don't think I'd have a problem with putting it on my face.
I would even drink it. Not from my friend's tit. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
But if somebody said, "Hey, do you want to try my breast milk?" I'd be like, "Sure, I don't care."
No. Someone's bodily fluid.
Again, you've put your mouth on a man's asshole and you don't know his name.
But you would not want that from a woman. I'm sorry. I've got to call you on this.
I wouldn't want what from a woman?
A woman's bodily fluid.
Oh, because you're not sexually attracted, because I'm not attracted to women. Oh, yeah. I guess, but I wonder if straight men are like women attracted, or anybody attracted to women.
No, I think straight men are completely grossed out by that. I would have a feeling.
But the milk thing doesn't, I'm like, but you know, I watched Dr. Pimple Pop. Like, body stuff doesn't gross me out at all.
Ugh, not for me.
Oh, I just saw Dr. Pimple. She just popped a cyst and it was like gray.
No,
I was like,
oh, I wish I could do it. So y'all, Tanya suggests going to a dentist. And I didn't know this was a thing with being kids this young, because Belle's basically a year and a half.
I think you do. You want to make sure all their teeth are growing and things.
I guess
so. You do take kids pretty young to the dentist.
And she's worried that what Jared's going to say, because now Jared wants to do the things together.
Remember, Mom, he said no first. Well, I know, Shea, but since your friend, and knowing you want the baby to go to a comfortable friend instead of somebody she doesn't know.
Every episode for them is an I Love Lucy episode. It's just, we're way back in the 50s. I do need to point out that
I love them, I have to say. I really love them.
There is a word art on the wall saying recipe for love. And it's like, a pinch of kindness, a cup of tenderness, a little bit of understanding,
hope. Lots of hope.
Then a good pounding with a full dick.
It's awful.
That's my recipe. That's the recipe for making love.
Did you notice that? So Belle,
that's a good Harry Connick Jr. song.
Belle was like coming over, and I was like, "Is Belle gonna lick the breast milk off her face?"
Maybe. I mean, it was that baby is fucking cute
and like looks just like Jared.
I know, but like when she said,
"Could not be better."
When she Cheryl looked at her and said, "You want to go to the dentist?" and she goes, "Gee, she's cute."
Yeah. That's a cute baby.
Y'all, you know that's you know it's a filler episode when we end with how cute the baby was instead of a dick joke. There you go, everybody.
They didn't have the most interesting couples to us, which is Kathy and Christina and Amy and her daughter, Shmamy. Who I can't remember. Shmamy.
Can't remember her name. They're going to be Amy and Shmamy now. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry, Shmamy.
I'm sorry. We really liked you, Shmamy. We love like your voice. You've got a
Angelina,
great singing voice.
Crystal. Amy,
Shmamy. It's sorry. It's stuck in my head now.
Shmamy.
Y'all, go to realitygazepodcast.com. You can, that's where you can find out all of our other stuff. Hey, patrons and super sissies, we really appreciate you. I just want to, we had someone email us and say they want to change, they emailed us on Patreon and said they want to change their Supercast account. And they looked up the Crowdcast info. And I just want to say to that sissy, you're a Carl's wife, and all of those three things don't make sense. But I laugh.
You're a motherfucking Carl's wife.
I'm going to email you back, and I love you for it, because I would do the same kind of, like, wait a minute, can't I? My father's like that. He doesn't understand, like, why can't someone, like, if someone doesn't have an iPhone, they have an Android.
Yeah.
It's like, but I did this on my phone, can't they? No, Dad, it's different operating system.
My mother is the same way. Like when I had to set up her printer at Christmas of last year.
I'm that way about
a year off my life.
I'm that way about things too, y'all. So I'm not, I just made me laugh.
It did make me laugh because she really does think technology is magic.
I'm telling you, I decided some people think technology is magic.
Yep.
My father's about to get, he wants an Apple Watch only because he learned.
No,
but he wants one now because he learned that I bought my mother one for her birthday last year. And he said, well, I didn't get anything and I didn't get to have a birthday because I went to the hospital.
Wow.
So we're going to buy an Apple Watch for my dad.
He'll never know how to use it.
He'll never know how to use the code. We'll see, y'all. Hey, everybody.
If you
go to Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star review. We appreciate that. If you don't know what to write,
say keep going, Queens.
Keep going, Queens. Come at us on Cameo. If we miss your Cameo, it's not because we don't care. It's because shit's been happening. So you can always rebook it and we'll do it. So we apologize in advance.
It's been a very, very busy week for
us. Poodle looked for his keys today for 6 hours before he found them in his asshole.
I can't even talk about it. I was so pissed off.
I was on the phone with him, y'all, trying to like
car keys,
like talk him down and be like, "Did you go do this? Did you go do this?" It was bad.
It's bad.
It totally undid the fucking
really
he had
bad.
Last night.
It did. It did.
Anyway, y'all. Hey, we appreciate you so much. Thanks for tuning in. We're going to have a smothered episode next week. And remember, Poodle, when you love your mother, what do?
You lick their face.
You lick their face.
Lick your face.